Chapter 45 Ephraim Night Gaze. The obsidians arrange themselves in a crescent and groan a song of farewell to the last sliver of sun as it dips beneath the horizon, not to be seen again until summer. It has a faintly tragic quality, this send-off. The dark months of winter are a reality the obsidians have left behind. While Olympia undergoes repairs, they will return to their cities and high-rise penthouses and skyhook bars and brothels in the cities of Cimmeria, leaving only the sparse remnants of savage clans to suffer the season. Seffi gives us a blessing before we go, dipping her finger in blood and pressing it to my forehead, then Osgard's. When she comes to Freyhild, her jaw locks, and she presses hard enough with her nail to leave a small gash. I wave dramatically at Pax as the snowball takes off to the clamour of drums and horns, the skull of the dragon dragging behind on a tow cable. As I fly, Freyhild looks joyfully ahead while Osgard plays with his jewelled rings. Half an hour's flight finds us beside the ruins of the Valkyrie spires. We drop the skull by the site Osgard and his acolytes have prepared for the Godspeaker to rise. We set down south of it and hike up. We raise our thermal tent while Osgard and Freyhild douse the skull and timber with dragon fat and lay out a circle of scales etched with runes. Soon, fire leaps along the skull and the pine beneath. Freyhild and I sip heated grog to ward off the chill as Osgard finishes laying his runes. She looks so young in the firelight I can barely remember thinking her a savage. She catches me watching her finger the small scratch Seffi gave her. "I saw you and Valdir speaking in the shadow," she says. "He returned haunted. Did you give him some grey wisdom?" Nothing he doesn't already know. The fire crackles between us. She knows I know. "I have tried to end it before. It is a war in here." She opens her hand over her heart. "Seffi gave me purpose. Valdir, everything else." She looks out at the snow. "She is stubborn. She is the strength in the bond. She must release him, but she will not. I do not know what to do." "Yeah. Yeah," she mocks. "No funny joke, no cruel cuts, just yeah." I rub my hands together, trying to soak up the warmth of the fire. "I don't know what you want me to say. It is what it is. Maybe she loves him too, I don't know. But you know it ain't just between you and Seffi and Valdir. How many others have found out?" Her jaw clenches. "Take that number and triple it. Hell, multiply it by 10. Gossip like that. Exponential echoes." I sigh, knowing I should mind my own business. But I care about this weird assassin, and I guess I care about Seffi. "Seriously, what's Seffi supposed to do? Have you killed?" "No, that is dishonourable. My queen is honourable. She would challenge me. Out here, I would win. In a circle? No. Lucky for you, she's forbidden challenges, remember? Her new path? All tribe? No kill all tribe? Anyway, do you want to kill your queen?" "No," she snaps. "She is all." Her face goes blank. "Maybe she will find another mate." "And what does that tell the others? You saw her fail to draw that bow. Others did too. Some will buy the pack's bit, but not all. Are you trying to be queen?" She reels back, offended. "No." "Well, maybe you make that clear to everyone, especially Seffi. Right now, she's being the big girl. You're spitting in her eye. She might have the throne, but you're the only one who can fix this." She weaves a dragon tooth into her valor tail. "I have never feared the enemy. But speaking to Seffi," her expression becomes tragic, "Valdir is my heart. I do not want it to be so. but he is. When I wake, when I sleep, he is a warm shadow that goes with me always. Well, kid, it's on you. I'd like to say there's another shadow or whatever out there for you, but I found mine, and he's stuck with me. But some things are more important, she says. I stare into the fire. Maybe. All tribe is more important than me. I know what I must do. She claps my shoulder, hard enough to rattle my teeth. Like I said, grey wisdom. She grows dour, sinking into the weight of her decision. Restless from all the thinking, she stands up and tells Osgard she will find the night gaze and he can warm his old bones by the fire and maybe learn something from the grey. The old shaman wheezes as he sits down. What did you say to her? Oh, just being wise, you know, like a fox. I tighten my jacket, feeling chilled under the gaze of the hollow towers. They hunch together, lording over the scattered stone and shadow, the many empty doors and windows like so many eye sockets. Once this was home to Sefi the Quiet, Ragnar the God. Now only wind moves in the dead city. Do you hear them? Osgard cocks his head to the wind. Not all the people of Alia had heart to follow Sefi to the stars. Those who remained felt the wrath of gold. Their spirits are trapped in the stone, shamed for all time. Poor sods, he snorts. If it were true, yes. I'll be damned. Is that skepticism I hear from a shaman? Osgard shrugs and prods the crumbling pine of the fire with a distant look. His mood is different than amongst his people, less frivolous. I shift closer to the flames. So, what now? We drink until Freyhild returns with night gaze. The gods must be offered strength of the beast and beauty of the land to speak. He sounds bored. Right. He sighs and looks at the darkness creeping around us. I confess. I hope she does not hurry. It is good to be alone in the snow. Thought you liked Freyhild. He chuckles. Freyhild is a clever woman, but she is blind. Not like us.
How's that?
The more blessed the creature, the less they question life. She is like Valdir and his big muscles this way, blindly forward with purpose, guided by the trough of expectation.
Osgard plays with his rings.
But us, that which is thin to us is thick to others, dull to us, resplendent to fools. I envy the blind. To accept mystery. To witness a corpse and think Valhalla instead of maggots? Did you know I was born to a woman of power? You would not think it. Brood of a great queen, destined to fight the gods' battles in the stars. But I was cursed for my mother's impiety, so our shaman said.
He brandishes his twisted hand.
Amniotic band syndrome. Agony, bred out of the other races, but not ours. My fingers were never formed. My spirit berries dull the pain.
Well, why not just get an upgrade? I pat my new leg. He turns the twisted hand.
Many of the braids believe it is the root of my power. At 4, my mother found me amputating my own hand with a fish knife to stop the pain. They said a dark spirit was within me. Fools. Shaman pressed coals into the soles of my feet and I was given to the ice. No Valhalla for a cursed child. They now say spirits found me, raised me with their arts, that I sacrificed my hand to Mimir for a drink from her well of wisdom.
He spits into the coals in disgust. cruelty is the heart of myth. There was no Mimir. I could not walk for the wounds. So I crawled, dragged my child's body with one hand until my fingers blackened. No spirit came, no gods. It was the kindness of a no-man that saved me, a shamed man cast out from his own people who lived as a hermit in the mountains. He became my father, my mother, but his life was withering. Hepatocellular carcinoma, I believe. Soon I would be a boy alone on the ice, so he gave me all he could to survive when he left. Omens, prophecies, tricks. He taught me religion is a lever, with a slight force at a clever angle, immense power to shift tides of humanity. When his Andi returned to the All-Mother, I gave his flesh to sky and bones to ice, and went to find a people. He passes me a horn of grog. I take a generous swig, then another, and scoot closer to the fire. Intrigued and a little mystified, he's letting me see beneath the mask. Risky business, that. The first tribe found value in my father's tricks. I was clever, but reckless and cruel. Their shaman had a trick in wooing ice serpents. He would light a fire of bitter nettle to make them sleepy. I changed the nettle for a mang root. I declared him a falsifier. When his snakes killed him before his queen, I became their shaman. Soon they were conquered, and I became shaman to that tribe and the next. To survive, I replaced other clever men. I used the lever. I learned to say what queens want to hear. In time, I learned to say what queens need to hear. And when I came upon the shaman who put coals to my feet, having left my mother after her tribe was conquered, I fed his manhood and liver to him and burned his body on the tundra. But I despaired. I felt no joy. The river of blood flowed and flowed, tribe fighting tribe, queen fighting queen, shaman unseating shaman. We were cannibals. When Sephi and Tyr Morga slew our gods, I saw a queen who could tame the darkness inside us. He grows quiet and watches the stars. That's some story. He glares. You doubt me?
Well, you're not exactly Victra, how I cannot tell a lie. He grins.
And what can bond sinners but their sins? None of my people would understand. Secrets are weight.
I'll drink to that. I take down another gulp and pass the horn. Oh, quite a pair, eh? Two con men just trying to stay above water. Was wondering if you'd ever drop the mask. He laughs and drinks deep. Was the old tribe her idea or yours?
Mine. Sowed over years. Too long she listened to Xenophon, thinking gold wisdom wisest, and to Valdir, guide of her heart, a stone brain who worships the Reaper because he is a master of violence. Were it not for the cost of the Mercurian reign, a fool could never have made a kingdom. You listen too much to others. I am not a fool.
No. You really aren't, are you? Fair's fair. What are you, then? He chooses carefully.
Liar. That is what I truly am.
The sigh of a man disappointed in himself eases out of him.
A liar who lied because he did not want to die, because he did not want to live in the ice without a people. Is that a sin?
He sits in penitence and stirs the coals, searching for something.
I know you laugh at Firebones. Others see you fall in mine victory and think you blessed. But we know how lucky you were to live. All my life I looked in Firebones and saw nothing. nothing but my own spirit growing darker and God's more distant. Not once did they answer me. My father said they weren't real, only the chains of our masters.
He grasps his chest.
But inside this heart, a coal burned, wanting them to be real, something to be real. This world is so cold, you know.
Freyhild knows. It's why she fears to lose Valdir. And I know all too well. He reaches into the fire to take a coal brighter than the rest. The stink of burning skin fills the air.
I do not know if the gods are real, but something, someone spoke to me, and the coal, long dormant, ignited. It was on Mercury. Using the bones of our braves fallen in the rain, I saw a griffin in the flames, winged and stained red, red as the eyes of a hell diver. And the grey smoke that formed above the griffin took the shape of a fox, one old and cunning, but held back by thorns of darkness.
He looks up at me, the reflection of the coal burning in his eyes.
Fear became me. After so long my gods had spoken, but I feared knowing their origin, feared my own doubt. And then I saw you on Luna, and I knew our path, your path, and my queen set sail for Mars. It is our destiny to be here, yours, mine, Sephi's.
The fire crackles. In the dark, wind whistles through the ruins. You want to know what insanity is? I pulled out a gold 10-credit piece. I wave my hand over it and it disappears. I pull it from behind his ear and feign awe. Fall in for your own con. You weren't seeing the gods. You were high, old boy. He takes no offence.
There is a world to be seen through God's breath. It is a real world. Vibrations, energy, fear, exaltation. But all that is in serotonin. Prefrontal cortex, easily manipulated. Xenophon has told my queen this many times. But my queen knows something Xenophon does not.
His bones creak as he leans forward.
I took no God's breath that day.
He puts the red-hot coal in his mouth. Then he seizes my hand and spits the coal into my palm. I almost drop it, but he holds my hand closed. The coal is cool as snow. I've never seen that trick before.
I know tricks. More tricks than you.
I turn the coal over in my hands. It glows with light.
What I have seen was no trick. Fire and ash will come, and end of worlds. Serpent will strangle wolf. Lion will battle lion. Darkness will battle light. Sister, murder brother. Son, murder father. Father, murder daughter. This is what the fire told me. All I have seen has come true. As others are consumed, Sephi will rise from the ashes to bind the obsidians, to become one with red, to found a kingdom watched over by a grey fox. Watched over by you.
An uncomfortable silence grows between us. There's a lot of greys in the world, old boy. This one's just passing through. I get my girl and I'm gone. He shakes his head.
You have your games, I had mine. But a man must someday stand his ground, or he is no man. Soon, when Volga is returned, you will have a choice to abandon us or to stay. I know you will choose to be a man. You are here to watch over Sephi. It is your destiny, and we are your tribe.
We finish the rest of the grog in silence, bored of waiting for Freyhild,
Osgard retires to our tent and tells me to wake him when she returns. I remain at the campfire as it dwindles, listening to him snore and creatures howl in the shrouded mountains. Osgard is a liar, a fraud, a charlatan running on thin ice. We are too alike to ever trust each other, but also too alike to miss the chance to try. I envy him now. He's found a cause. Where's mine? Save Volga, then what? Abandon my contract? Carve out a life on the run? Could I really stay? Freyhild is taken forever, and the fire is doing little to keep me warm. Remembering I have another coat in the ship, I head back. In the darkness, I lose my way and wind up along a scree of rubble from a fallen tower. My hand light illuminates a rock carved with griffins. The gold orbital strikes from a decade ago melted most of the carvings away. It's not right. The wings are unique to each griffin. Someone took care to carve this. And then, with a push of a button, a drone of a human wiped it all away. A faint silver glint in the rocks distracts me from my melancholy. I climb up and shine my light on it, thinking it might be some relic or a starshell fragment. It's neither. I almost laugh at my dumb fortune. How could Freyhild miss this? It stretches in the darkness all the way to the base of a pale tree set against a jagged obelisk. A few minutes later, I retired to our camp. I stir Osgard gently from his sleep. He wakes with a snort, clutching a dagger under his furs with his good hand. You want to see some magic, shaman? He grins.
Always.
We retrace my Osgard's path through the rubble and climb the pillar. The silver light washes Osgard's face of its creases. As he witnesses the field of night gaze amongst the ruins, his expression becomes that of a child jumping into a public fountain on a hot day. The flowers are like pools of liquid silver. Osgard's thick hands stroke the petals with tender care. They curl around his dark fingers. A great laugh escapes him, and he walks in rapture, following the veins of flowers that skin the rubble and leaning towers in mutinous silver light. He glances back at me.
Thank you for this gift. It will never be forgotten.
I'm about to reply when a sub-program in my brain flickers a warning. Something's changed. Osgard senses the tension and frowns as I walk past him to the shattered obelisk I spotted earlier.
What is wrong? He whispers.
There was a tree here. Osgard comes to my side and squints at the obelisk. It's a fractured piece of a throne. A broken wing is all that remains of one of the armrests.
This was the throne of Alia, Osgard whispers, Sephi's mother.
He leans to pick something from it. Several dark stones roll in his palm. They're shaped like humans, but wrong. Their phalluses are engorged, their craniums far too large and studded with spikes. Osgard, don't react. We've got company. I motion down with my eyes. In a silvery pool of crushed nightgaze blossoms lies a single boot print. Next to it, my boot looks no larger than a red child's. Osgard drops the dark stones. I lift my hand as if to scratch my head, brushing off my pistol's safety and activating my earcom. Static washes. We're being jammed. The wind whispers through the dead city. Someone is out there. Osgard, I want you to stay on my six. When I give the word, we go as fast as we can back to the ship. Stick together. He nods. Now! Fear claws into my chest as we sprint back the way we came. It's unexplainable, total, like the shrieking of cat claws on a window pane. We race under the looming towers. Silver pollen sprays around us as our boots turn nightgaze petals to pulp. Then Osgard stops. I wheel around, hissing at him to keep running. Coated in silver pollen, he looks like a skeleton made of mercury as he stares at something. I rush back to him and find him looking through the open face of a fallen tower. Inside, illuminated by the phosphorescent flowers, a body, pierced by three huge arrows, hangs off the ground like a fish on a line. A rusted iron hook punctures the neck, loops through the jaw and protrudes out between shattered teeth. As the body sways on the chain, its face turns to us, lower jaw hanging broken and unhinged. It is Freyhild. Then I smell the stink of breath, feel heat on the back of my neck. I stick my gun under my left armpit and pull the trigger. The gun explodes in my hand as the barrel is crumpled shut by a huge hand. My index finger twists like kindling as I try to tear it free of the mangled gun. Osgard, run! I try to follow my own advice, but three dark shapes fall to block my path. I fall to a knee in case they fire, then strip a thermal flare from my belt and toss it, hoping they're wearing optics. I roll right, turn a corner, the thermal ignites. A rippling tide of inky black rolls through the night gaze veins as the delicate petals are exposed to the high-frequency light waves. I turn into a dead end of rubble. There's a soft thump behind me. I turn around and find myself staring eye to eye with two pits of darkness. They are set within the giant head of a pale nightmare, and it is crouching. When the nightmare uncoils from its crouch, my eyes are no higher than the melted face of an old tattoo obscured behind its white chest hair. The obsidian is big, bigger than Valdir, bigger than any man I have ever seen. Metal mingles with the pale flesh of his arms and pectorals and ribs his trachea. His huge mouth is a blood-smeared maw, and the language that seeps sluggishly from it is alien to my ears. Ginjik kel gini nag ho ai nud kajek nin ji jig ve. I tried to step back. A hand as large as my head seizes me and strokes my cheek with its thumb. A metal nail sharp enough to fillet bone traces paths along my cheek, gently, almost affectionately. The thermal flare goes out. Darkness again. The giant forces my right hand open and puts something heavy and hot in it. Warm fluid drips between my fingers. The iron smell of raw meat. Stay. The giant flows past me to stand in front of a witless Osgard who has been dragged to us by several tall shadows. We have heard your prophecy, shaman. The giant laughs at Osgard's wilted arm. Who is a mongrel to speak for the god? The All-Father speaks one truth, and that is might. Osgard comes alive. With a wild screech, jerks his knife toward the giant's ribs. The giant catches the hand and squeezes it against the knife hilt until Osgard shrieks and there's a wet, crumpling sound. You like prophecies, shaman? Here is my prophecy. The giant presses a metal-nailed thumb into Osgard's right eye and submerges it to the knuckle. Screams bubble out of Osgard's mouth as his eyeball collapses and dark fluid leaks down his face. When next you behold me, you will take the other. The pale giant laughs. Only blinded do liars finally see. He tosses Osgard to the ground. As a spoiled child discards an old toy. My friend paws at his mangled eye with his broken hand. My own shake around the warm mass they hold. I've seen war, but never felt this afraid. The obsidian gestures to my hands as ship lights carve the darkness. It is a heart that's been gnawed upon. Freyhild's heart. I feel the bile rising.
The Scoogie was worthy.
The giant bears a narrow scratch on his neck.
I have honored her strength. It is part of me now. Gift her heart to your liar queen. Tell her I have heard in the ink she is queen of all Volk. I have come to contest her claim. Tell her she is now prey.
The ship lights silhouette the monster. The shape of a man barbed with metal eclipses me. Who are you? I call after him as he walks to his ship. Laughter corrupts the darkness around us. The giant smiles as the darkness answers for him with a long groan made of a single distended syllable.
Far.